Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to GAIL (India) Limited Q1 FY27 earnings conference call hosted by Ambit Capital Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Vivekanand S. from Ambit Capital Private Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Palak. Good day, ladies and gentlemen. On behalf of Ambit Capital Private Limited, I welcome everyone to GAIL (India) Limited's first quarter fiscal 27 earnings call. Today, we have the pleasure of having with us the senior management of GAIL, led by its Director of Finance, Shri S. K. Sinha Ji. I will now hand over the call to the management for their opening remarks, which will be followed by a Q&A session. Over to you, Sinha Ji.
Okay, thank you, Vivekanand. I extend a warm welcome to all of you, and thank you for joining us today. I also take this opportunity to thank our investors and analysts for their continued trust and engagement with the company. For the financial year 26-27, began amid sharp volatility triggered by the West Asia crisis, which impacted certain GAIL volumes. The company managed the disruption through a combination of portfolio flexibility and spot sourcing, while continuing to support customer requirements and India's energy security. GAIL's diversified portfolio proved to be a key strength in navigating the quarter effectively. During the quarter, the energy sector faced significant challenges arising from the geopolitical developments and supply disruptions. Before I move on to the operational and financial highlights, I would like to place on record my sincere appreciation for the entire GAIL team. Our teams worked relentlessly to ensure continuity of the gas supplies and meet customer requirements. Their dedication, resilience, and customer-centric approach enabled GAIL to navigate the disruptions effectively while supporting India's energy security, which is reflected in the quarter's strong performance. In summary, Q1 FY27 demonstrated the resilience of GAIL's integrated business model, with strong financial performance supported by portfolio diversification, disciplined supply management, and continued investor strategic growth projects. Moving to the key business highlights for the quarter, during the quarter, the entire 1,707 km Mumbai-Nagpur-Jharsuguda pipeline became operational on 31st May 2026, making a significant milestone in strengthening GAIL's gas transmission infrastructure. Pursuant to the NCLT order dated 3rd June 2026, Konkan LNG Limited became a wholly-owned subsidiary of GAIL (India) Limited with effect from 6th July 2026. This will help GAIL streamline operations more effectively, bring tax efficiency, and make RLNG sourcing more competitive. PNGRB also authorized for the three LPG pipelines, namely Jhansi-Sitarganj 610 km, Kerlapalli-Nagpur 556 km, and Sikarpur-Hubli-Goa 635 km, was received on 14th July 2026. The combined length of these pipelines is over 1,800 km, with estimated investment of around 6,700 crores spread over 3 years. Moving to the performance highlights, first we discussed about the standalone profitability. Gross turnover for the quarter FY27 stood at 38,912 crores, as against 34,591 crores in Q4 FY26, reflecting growth of around 12%. Supported by elevated crude and LPG prices and GAIL's diversified portfolio, the company delivered a robust financial performance during the quarter. PBT stood at the 5,773 crores as against 1,577 crores in Q4 FY26. PAT stood at Rs. 4,292 crores as against 1,262 crores in Q4 FY26. Moving to the consolidated financials, on consolidated basis for Q1 FY27, turnover stood at 41,277 crores compared to the 35,499 crores in Q4 FY26. EBITDA was 7,573 crores versus 2,703 crores in the previous quarter. PBT stood at 6,268 crores as compared to 1,966 crores in Q4 FY26. PAT, excluding minority interest, stood at 4,665 crores as against 1,485 crores in Q4 FY26. Moving to the segment-wise performance and outlook. First, we discussed about the gas marketing. Due to the force majeure declared by PLL, volumes from the Qatar were impacted. Additionally, seven cargo from other contracts were also affected during the quarter. To meet the demand gap, GAIL sourced 8 spot cargo during Q1 FY27. Our gas marketing volume stood at 93.82 MMSCMD, comprising 8.76 MMSCMD in the international market. Favorable movement in price indexes supported the elevated marketing spread during the quarter. Higher return were generated from the Henry Hub linked and JCC 9-month linked sourcing, where the corresponding sales were not indexed on the same basis. This advantage expected to be largely short-term, as the 9-month and the 3-month JCC averages are expected to converge over the time, and the benefit from the index movement is likely to normalize. In view of the continued volatility, we maintain our gas marketing guidance for FY26-27 at around 4,500 crores PBT. We will further review and revise the guidance if required after declaration of the results for the subsequent quarter. Moving to the natural gas transmission, volume for the quarter FY27 stood at 122.36 MMSCMD as against 118.99 MMSCMD in the previous quarter. The Q1 FY27 transmission volume is broadly in line with the FY26 with the increase primarily on account of deeper volume, which rose by around 4 MMSCMD during the quarter. Based on the current operating trend and the Q1 FY27 volume of 122.36 MMSCMD, we now expect natural gas transmission volume for FY27 to be around 123 MMSCMD with the assumptions that the geopolitical situation continue. We will continue to monitor the evolving geopolitical situation and domestic demand, and will update the guidance if material change is warranted. Under the polymer business, due to the diversification of feedstock natural gas towards the priority sector, in line with the government gazette notification declaring natural gas as essential commodity, polymer production during Q1 FY27 stood at 51 TMT. The segment incurred a loss of Rs. 130 crores for the quarter. At present, the plant is running at 100% capacity, and we expect it is to be at the break-even level during FY27. We are actively pursuing the shift of Pata petrochemical complex from natural gas to ethane as a feedstock to ensure long-term sustainable margins. Moving to the LHC and LPG transmission, in the LPG transmission segment, volume stood at 1,077 TMT as against 1,114 TMT in Q4 FY26, down by around 3%, primarily due to disruption in the LPG import on account of the West Asia crisis. In the LHC segment, the company increased production by around 20% during the quarter, from 194 TMT 232 TMT, supported by additional allocation of domestic new well gas of approximately 0.597 MMSCMD. Production is likely to remain in the range of throughput during the last year. The LHC segment reported PBT of rupees 772 crores during the Q1 FY27 as against 144 crores in the previous quarter and 489 crores in the previous financial year. Added by higher LPG prices due to the West Asia disturbance. Moving to the CGD and GAIL gas performance, GAIL CGD network across 6 GAs comprises 217 CNG stations and 2.63 lakh DPNG connectors. During Q1 FY27, GAIL's CGD business added about 20,069 DPNG connections and 3 CNG stations. GAIL Gas Limited, which is wholly owned subsidiary of GAIL, currently operates 16 GAs directly and 9 GAs through its JV. During Q1 FY27, GAIL Gas added about 16,610 DPNG connections as on 30th June 26. GAIL Gas held a network of 592 CNG stations and 793,684 DPNG connections. Over the next 2 years, GAIL Gas target to add around 275 new CNG stations and about 3.7 lakh new DPNG connections. During the current financial year, current quarter, FY27, turnover of GAIL Gas stood at 3,326 crores as against 3,227 crores in Q4 FY26. PBT increased by 3% and stood at 162 crores as against 158 crores in Q4 FY26. PAT was up by 3% and stood at 120 crores as against 117 crores in Q4 FY26. Moving to the ongoing projects and CAPEX, pipeline projects, JHBDPL remaining sections, KKMBPL Phase 2, Gurdaspur Jammu pipeline and C2-C3 pipeline are scheduled for completion in the current financial year. Bijaipur Bina pipeline, DUPL, DPPL capacity augmentation are scheduled for completion in FY27-28. JLPL capacity documentation is scheduled to be completed in July 28. Petrochemical projects, the 1,250 KTA PTA plant at DMPL is in advanced stage of commissioning and should start production shortly. The 500 KTA PDHPP plant is scheduled to be commissioned in the next financial year. And moving to the other CAPEX plant during the Q1 FY27, GAIL incurred a capital outlay of 6,176 crores, demonstrating a strong progress across a strategic growth initiative. This sustained investments underscores our commitment to strengthen gas infrastructure, enhancing downstream capabilities, advancing clean energy projects, and supporting India's long-term energy transition and energy security objectives. We remain on track to achieve our FY27 capacity capital outlay guidance of around 11,500 crores. That concludes my overview of the quarter performance, segment-wise outlook, and key projects. Over to you, Mr. Vivekanand.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may please press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Vivekanand S. from Ambit Capital Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi, Mr. Sinha. Thanks for updating your guidance on transmission as well as marketing and petchem. Just drilling deeper into the drivers of the transmission volume growth, if you can help us understand You had a volume of 127 MMSCMD in FY25. Now, clearly, FY26, 27 were down years, very specific reasons. But how to think about the demand outlook beyond FY27, considering that the government is taking multiple steps to de-risk the country from the overexposure to LPG in certain sectors? Is there any change in demand outlook that you have experienced as far as the government's push is concerned? That is my first question. The second one is on the gas sourcing side. So some of your new contracts, particularly Vitol and ADNOC volumes, they will kick in now, right, this year. So just trying to understand in terms of your long-term portfolio, what are the incremental deals that you're planning to sign? What would be the duration, benchmarks? If you could talk about that, it'll be great. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Vivekanand. Coming to the first question, for the demand, as you know, PNGRB has come up with a document, a paper, where it has mentioned that during the by 2030, the total demand will be 297 MMSCMD, as against currently 200 MMSCMD. So there will be increase of about 100 MMSCMD. And 100 MMSCMD will come from, first, from the CGD sector, second, from the fertilizer sector, third one was the power sectors, fourth one the industries, which includes steel, aluminum, etc. And last one is the LNG, long-haul LNG truck. So these are the area where demand will come in the future. And moving to the second question regarding the sourcings. So right now we have 16.5 MMTPA in our portfolio, and earlier our chairman has already told that we will source around 7 to 8 MMTPA by 2030, out of which we have sourced around 2.5. So rest we are on working on it.
Right. Thanks for the color. Just to help us understand the, let's say, the roadmap, because the 2030 outlook, now we are not very far off, I mean, less than 3.5 years. So to understand how much of the 100 MMSCMD incremental demand will come from the various sectors, do you have any more working that you have done? Because I understand that the PNGRB had done this at a time when the market was very normal. There was an LNG glut expected globally. But the West Asian war is likely to have changed many things here. So in your view, what do you think is the now perhaps updated demand projection that you are working with and you believe is plausible in, let's say, FY28 and FY29?
Basically, based on the current situation, we have not revised our volume. So we are totally relying on PNGRB published figure. So certainly, there will increase. I have already told about the CGD sectors where the growth is around 10 to 12%. So currently, it is around 45-46 MMSCMD. And by 2030, as per the PNGRB, it will increase to 80-85 MMSCMD. And second one, in the fertilizer sectors, there will be around 10-12 MMSCMD growth will come by 2030. Third one is the power sectors. Currently, we are consuming in the power sectors around 25-26 MMSCMD. It will increase to 30-35 MMSCMD. And in the other segments, I've already told you the long-term haul, truck haul or steel and cement, the growth will be happened in these sectors.
Right. Thank you very much, sir. Palak, you may open the Q&A queue now. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that management is able to address questions from all the participants in the conference call, please limit your question to two per participant. For follow-up, please rejoin the queue. The next question is from the line of Probal Sen from ICICI Securities Limited. Please proceed.
Thank you, sir, and congratulations on a strong set of numbers in a challenging environment. I just had a couple of questions. Number one, obviously, trading has surprised positively. in terms of the margin performance. And yet, if we look at the guidance of 4,500 crore, what we are implying therefore is that there is a very steep decline in terms of the quarterly run rate, if we look at what we've already achieved in Q1. So how should we look at it, sir? It is just excessive prudence at this point of time, and there's almost a decent probability of further upward guidance, or, you know, is there a huge normalization that can happen when the, you know, JCC 3-month linkage actually kicks in and converges to the 9-month number? Just if we can understand it a bit more.
Prabhul, I think you have rightly pointed out this. We have been telling this in earlier quarterly calls also that JCC index contract, which is for 2.4 MMTPA, it is on 9-month Brent. It is on Japanese crude cocktail, but roughly it is same as British Brent, but it is covering 9-month average, and that too with a lag of 2 months. And whereas all the downstream sales are on 3-month related rent. So there has been in earlier years also cash flow differences have been there, which are getting normalized over a longer period of time. So what we believe that there, this time in this quarter, there was abnormal jump in the Brent index numbers, which contributed to very high realization in terms of sales, and we that has contributed significantly, but this is one of definitely much of it will get cured within the year. That's what we understand. However, it depends on the level of dated Brent in the coming months, which is depending on so many international factors.
Got it, sir. And sorry to harp on this again, but another significant part of our trading portfolio is the 21 MMS India or 5.8 million ton of India update. Gas there, sir, it's very clear that India prices are continuing to be at a discount to Asian LNG prices. So that advantage will still sustain. There is nothing specifically one-off about that phenomenon. I mean, obviously the differential may narrow a bit, but that can, that is it fair to assume that that advantage will continue to sustain for us for even the rest of the year?
No, that again, that depends on the levels of Brent index and the Henry Hub index in the remaining months. Of course, we are continuously striving to hedge certain volumes of the exposure which we are having on the PERF index. As far as Henry Hub is concerned, roughly half or slightly less than half goes on back-to-back index, and another maybe 20% goes for our own consumption in PASA. So the cross index, whatever is available, is not a very high number. Yes, definitely, that is in a sweet spot right now. So that contributes positively to our top line and bottom line.
Got it, sir. And the second question was about the LPG business, when you mentioned the additional allocation of 0.6 MMSCMD. So in terms of production run rate, should we assume that the production run rate that we've achieved in this quarter, that will, you know, safely be maintained for the rest of the year? And what was the average pricing that we saw for our realizations in this quarter?
Current price. Basically, during the last... Just hold on. During the average price, during the last quarter, it was around 90,796. And moving to the production side, basically we have allocated additional 0.597 MMSCMDs. So earlier we had allocation of about 1.32. So total our allocation is around 1.9. So based on the 1.9, we will able to produce what we produced during the last quarter.
Understood, sir. I will come back for more questions. Thank you so much and all the best.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Yogesh Patil from Dolat Capital. Please proceed with your question.
Thanks for an opportunity and congratulations for the great set of numbers, sir. A few questions on the petrochemical PATA facility. What was our average gas cost for the petrochemical during the quarter? And what gas price do we expect petrochemical operating profit will come into the positive side?
During the last quarter, the average price of petrochemicals, landed price was $10.54 per MMBTU.
And sir, any guidance that at what price we will be profitable on the petrochemical side? At what gas cost?
If around $13-$14 landed price and selling price is around 130,000, there will be no profit and loss.
Oh, sir, next related to USAR and the GMPL again. As you mentioned, the USAR is going to start the next year and GMPL very soon. But could you approximate timelines when these projects will be a fully commissioned? That's one. And secondly, when it starts contributing to the EBITDA, on a separate side, will it be a second half of FY28, or do you give us will you give us a guidance on the FY29 side? A full profitability will reflect in FY29.
Basically, we have not worked out profit for the FY27-28 for the GMPL and 3D-SPV, but certainly our GMPL plant is under commissioning and production will start very soon. And regarding the 3D-SPV plant, this plant, as per the timelines, it should be commissioned by June 27th, but it will take another 6 to 7 months and it may be completed by December 27.
So last question on the PNGRB Action Plan 2027. So, sir, they have mentioned promotion of transparency and the competition in the gas infrastructure. Under this paragraph, PNGRB has mentioned that unbundling functions and creation of an independent transport system operator. What we understand, recently the gas Commission has cancelled the unbundling of the GAIL transmission in the trading segment. Can you just give us a little bit clarity on these topics?
Basically, in the year 2014, PNGRB came up with the clause 5A for the unbundling of GAIL. Unbundling means any entity which are in the transmission and marketing business has to separated with effect from 1st April 27th. So for this, we were went in the court and the case is still pending, and recently PNGRB has withdraw the clause 5A from their regulation. So right now there is no obligation for unbundle for the entity which they engage in the gas transmission and gas marketing.
Okay, so then what will be the role of TSO, sir, transport system operator, independent TSO?
So TSO will examine the third party. Basically, in any pipeline, we have 25% for the third party, so open access. So they will monitor the open access quantity.
Thanks a lot, sir, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Siddharth Chauhan from 361 Capital. Please proceed.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. I have two questions. Firstly, in the gas transmission business, for system use gas, do we get HPHT gas or you have to rely on spot LNG? That's my first question.
Yeah, basically we are using HPHT gas. So we had already purchased HPHT gas in the past, so we are using the same gas.
Currently, we are using HPHT that was earlier awarded through bidding, so it is available. Going forward, the PNGRB has come out with a regulation where 3-year long-term serving, at least 3 years or more, has to be done for procuring the gas for the HPHT purpose.
Understood. And any thoughts on that? Have we planned our sourcing for the next 3 years?
We are examining that, and definitely HCG is a must for operating the pipeline, so we'll be planning that soon.
Understood. And lastly, on Dabhol LNG plant, when will the heating system be installed? And secondly, will it be fair to assume that all the incremental deals on sourcing side will be brought to Dabhol LNG for regasification?
The ambient heating system will be completed by next year, by June 2027.
Okay.
What is
And,
What's your next question?
The next question was that, will it be fair to assume that the incremental deals on the sourcing side, all the volumes will be brought to Dabhol LNG for regasification? As you mentioned, 7-8 MMTPA you're targeting by 2030, and you have already sourced 2.5.
Generally, all the deals are having West India optionality available with GAIL, where we can change the port or dispute the port. Definitely we will endeavor, once the terminal is fully ready, to use as much as available slots as possible.
Thank you, sir, and all the best for the future.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Amit Murarka from Axis Capital. Please proceed.
Good evening, and for the opportunity. On the Henry Hub LNG, I believe a lot of it is back-to-back contracted. Just wanted to understand, like, what percentage of it is still open and how much is in the contract terms now?
I think this has been answered a few minutes back in another question. As I said, we had a portfolio. We have a roughly portfolio of 21 MMSCMD on Henry Hub, and out of which, around half or slightly less than half is contracted back-to-back. Another 20% goes for our own internal consumption in petrochemical complex. Remaining, maybe, 25% to 30% is available for sale in the Brent contracts. That is available on cross-index, and we are time to time hedging and locking the margins for this cross-index basis risk.
And given the high differential right now between the two, between Henry Hub linked and Brent linked, so, is it fair to say that at least in second quarter or the near term, the margins that you capture from this open-ended volumes will still be quite high then?
Amit, sir, Pata plant was partly operational during quarter one. It started in the mid of May. It was operating on 50% load. Now, Pata is fully operational on 100% load, so the volume which is designated for Pata will be consumed in Pata. We'll have less arbitrage available to play with HH.
Got it. But still, like, given that petchem prices are also very high, so in that case, then the same margin will now get captured in petchem to that extent?
Yeah, but we cannot be so sure of petchem prices. It will anyway will be determined by the market forces.
Price has already softened if you compare with the previous quarter.
Okay, sure. Okay, got it. That's it from me. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Sumeet Rohra from Smartsun Capital. Please proceed. Mr. Sumeet, your line has been unmuted. Please proceed with your question.
Yeah, hi. Thank you so much. Yeah, hi, sir. Thank you, sir. Thanks a lot for your for the call, and many congratulations on a great result. Now, sir, I just wanted to get your sense on this gas marketing. You said that, you know, 4,500 crore is basically what you're targeting on a PBT level for the whole year, and you've done about 3,600 crore in the first quarter. Now, I also understood you said that this is linked to Brent, dated Brent. Now, assuming, sir, you know, Brent is averaging around, say, $90 or between $80 and $90, even in the second half, I mean, the second quarter, how do you basically think this gas marketing number should look? You know, because that's a very big moving part in the result, right? Because if you see on a total PBT of 6,500, yeah, that is 3,600. So if you can help understand on that, then, you know, they'll get a better sense on numbers on gas marketing. And sir, secondly, also on the LPG, you know, you've reported 772 crore versus 205 crore. Now, that is also quite a high number. So do you also see this 700 crore plus number sustaining for the balance of the other quarter, sir?
Moving to the second question regarding LPG, the price of LPG during the last quarter, it was around 90,796, and price has already softened during the current quarter. So certainly, there will be a decrease in the LPG profitability. And regarding input side, so we are using some portion of the APM gas. The price is around $7, and some we are using some new wellfield gas. The gas price is around $12-$13. So based on these situations, whatever we earn profit during the last quarter, certainly this profitability will decrease during the current quarter. And regarding the gas marketing profitability, we reported around 3,353 crores at PBT level. So we have already explained earlier that our total guidance during the current year, it is around 4,500 crores. So if any change will happen in the coming days, so we will come up with the revised guidance.
Thank you so much, sir, for that. But, you know, just one thing. So this 4,500 crore has been a number, which is long spoken up since the last 2-3 years. So do you think that it's more or less going to remain around here, or at some point, you're going to see a very sharp escalation in those numbers?
The situation is very volatile. Keep moving. It's changing every day. So the extraordinary result that we got in quarter one is due to JCC 9 months and 3 months arbitrage that we got. And over long run, these averages are going to converge. So second quarter, the JCC 9 months average, it will reflect the current Brent prices to some extent. So the margins are going to shrink as we go forward. So the same kind of margins that we earned in quarter one may not be available in quarter two. And if Brent goes down significantly, we may lose on that numbers. Because the 3 months, okay. Brent 3 months will start reflecting a lower number than our sourcing.
Okay, sure. Thank you, madam. That's helpful. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Sabri H. from MK Global. Please proceed with your question.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir, and congratulations on stellar set of numbers. So two questions. First is on the transmission side. I think the expenditure on the transmission side is quite low. If we adjust for the one which was done in Q4. Was there like anything specific during Q1?
In the last quarter, there was provision on 111 crore. Basically, provision has reduced from 111 crore to 11 crore. So, the total cost had decreased mainly due to the provision.
Okay, but there was nothing like no change in gas sourcing mix for the transmission.
No.
No one else, right? Okay, no. Okay, fair enough. And second question is on your fertilizer plan. So these are all assured projects, right, in terms of 12% to 16% IRR, which I think the government has also stated. So they will always be, like, profitable, or is there some risk of, like, cost overshooting and you are not able to make that much money? Is there any risk, or it's a fixed return business, the fertilizer capex?
Basically, yesterday, Ministry of Fertilizer has published the new urea policy for the investment. So, we are going for the two fertilizer plants. One is the Maharashtra, and other one is the Chhattisgarh. And these all the plants are under active evaluation. So whenever we finalize our DFR and investment decisions, we'll come. Inform you with subsequent.
Got it, sir. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Mayank Maheshwari from Morgan Stanley. Please proceed with your question.
Sir, I had a question around how you have used the energy shock of the last quarter to improve your market share in marketing specifically. Is there something that you can tell us about? Because as I said, this has been a volatile time and your portfolio around gas sourcing has been helpful. Is there a way you can quantify in terms of long-term market share that you've been able to gain because of this energy shock?
Mayank, can you repeat your questions? Basically, we are not hearing.
Mayank, sir, can you please use your handsets?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah. It is okay.
Okay. Yeah. So I was basically asking you in terms of your long-term market share on marketing on natural gas, how have you used the last quarter of shock, considering you had a good portfolio of sourcing, to increase your market share on more medium term? Are you able to get more longer term customers because of the shock and your ability to kind of supply the gas during these times?
Yeah, Mayank, this Middle East war, though it has given a lot of lessons for the country, but definitely one lesson has come out very starkly, that our dependence, the country's dependence on LPG is very much loaded on the Middle Eastern countries, whereas natural gas portfolio for the country is much more diversified. So for the energy security of the country, it is very important, and even in the longer run, this message will continue that LPG has to be replaced in a very, very projectized manner with natural gas, whether it is for cooking, whether it is for industrial segments and whatever segments. So yes, that has given a big boost, and the government, the Ministry of Petroleum is also pushing very hard for more and more PNG connections for the homes, and even in the industrial customers, whether they are in the ambit of CGDs or large industrial customers otherwise on natural gas pipelines, which used to earlier use LPG, they are all now coming up for tying up natural gas for their energy requirements. It is a big boost for the natural gas in the longer term.
And Dean, specifically, sir, in terms of, because you have been losing market share on marketing side versus your transmission volumes, if you look at the gap has been widening over years, is that gap that you can close over the next few years because of this or no?
Definitely, it will help improve. And one of the reasons for that, whatever factor you are saying, is the growth in the CGD sector, where many of the CGDs, sometimes they are sourcing on their own, but as far as the pipeline transmission network, it is GAIL being one of the biggest pipeline transmission network owners, transmission volumes will continue to benefit.
From the volume growth in CGD, we can understand that there has been substantial growth in industrial and commercial connections, because those INC customers, they are avoiding LPG now, so they are taking new connections. So the in coming quarters, we'll see that growth coming up.
And I think it's the last question on Jharsuguda pipeline. How much volumes you think you can be going through this pipeline over the next couple of years, and an impact on tariff overall, if at all any?
Currently it is around 0.5 MMSCMD, and this will increase further. Basically, we are discussing in the Jharsuguda sites. So there are a lot of industry in the Jharsuguda. So certainly they will consume gas in the coming days.
See, 1 or 2 years is a very small period. So many CGDs are there. They will gradually ramp up. But the most important thing is our two fertilizer plants, which we are working on, if they are approved, then they may take another 3-4 years. That will be a big boost on the volumes on the pipeline.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Vineet Banka from Nomura. Please proceed with your question.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. I have a couple of questions. Firstly, on the gas trading side, was there any one-off? Like in the last quarter, there was a provision of 6.7 billion odd, and I think you told that this could be reversed in the coming quarter. So was it reversed in this quarter?
No, this has not been reversed in the current quarter. So,
Okay.
In the current quarter, yeah.
Yeah, understood, sir. So, and secondly, on the LPG LHC business, I understand the volume currently, the domestic gas volume that you're getting around 1.9 MMSCMD. So can you give a breakup of how much of it is APM price, how much is fuel gas price?
1.12 is the APM gas and rest is the new well field gas.
Okay, sir. So Henry Hub gas that you're sourcing from the US, you said around 20% goes to petchem plant. So if the same gas is sold on Brent link pricing to some other customer, the margins will be much higher. So just trying to understand, are you better off to probably use this gas to be sold to some other customer rather than using it as a petchem feedstock?
Basically, we are in the petrochemical since 1999, so we have a market, we have a customer, so we have to produce, we have to run our petrochemical plants at the certain level. So we have a Henry Hub gas around 21 MMSCMD, and our ED marketing has already clarified in details. So how much we are selling on the back-to-back basis, how much we are selling on a cross index, and whatever, how much we are consuming in the our internal consumption.
Okay, sir. So one last question on LPG realization. So usually when I compare this realization with Saudi contract price, it is largely in line. But this quarter, there was a large divergence. So is it because of this much higher spot premium over Saudi contract price because of whatever is happening in the Middle East and also due to additional higher logistic costs or anything else which could explain this price difference?
Basically, during the last quarter, the average crude price was around $96-$97. So based on these crude prices, the price of the LPG has increased. And price is being fixed based on the Saudi Aramco indexes.
Okay, sir. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Somaya from Advanced Spark. Please go ahead. Mr. Somaya, please proceed with your question. As the line for the current participant is not active, we'll proceed with the next question. The next question is from the line of Nitin Tiwari from Phillip Capital. Please proceed with your question.
Hi, sir. Good evening and congratulations on a very strong set of numbers. Thanks for the opportunity. A couple of questions from my side. So we have a number of projects which are commissioning over this year and next year as well. So how do we look at depreciation and interest? I mean, if you can give us some guidance on the run rate for depreciation and interest going forward on either annual or quarterly basis.
Basically, during the previous quarter, we have already reviewed our life of the pipelines and the petrochemicals. So, based on the current life of 40 years and 35 years of the petrochemicals, the depreciation will be around 3,200-3,300 crores in the coming year.
Okay. Even after the commissioning of new pipelines, I mean, that is the broad... That, right, sir? And also, I mean, we have petrochemical project commissioning as well in next year.
Yeah, GMPL will be commissioned very soon. And PDSPP plant will be commissioned in the next year.
Right, sir. So, I mean, if we include all of that, then how would this 3,200 crore number move? Any sense on that?
Basically, the depreciation rate for the, petrochemicals, it is around 4%, so you can calculate total PDSPP cost is around 11,256 crores. So around 440 crores. Additional impact will be 312 crores.
Okay.
For PDSPP plant.
312 crores, sir. Got it. And on the interest side?
Currently, the interest total finance cost for the current quarter was around 310 crores. So you can calculate for the yearly basis, it will be around 1,200-1,300 crores on yearly basis.
Understood. Because of the plant, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, tell me. Yeah.
Yeah, I was saying that currently you would be capitalizing the interest on the debt on the plant, right? So that will get expensed later when the plant is commissioned. So
Yeah.
How would the interest run rate look?
Basically, total plant cost is around 11,000 crores, and based on the 60/40 something, total loan of the PDH will be around 6,000 crores. So 6,000 into 7, currently 440 crores. The total finance cost will increase by around 440 crores on yearly basis.
440 crores. Got it, sir. Yeah. Sir, and second question was on marketing margins. So while you did explain the gap between a 9-month and 3-month JCC contracts, which led to the widening of margins. So but you would have sold a lot of spot cargoes in this quarter as well to make up for lost cargoes from Qatar, right? So how was the marketing margin on those cargoes? If you can give us some sense, either in percentage of the price terms or in dollar per MMBtu.
See, during these war times, we have been managing, trying to manage the volumes to our customers also. So we have purchased a lot of spot cargoes during the almost period, which are closed at market price. So ultimately, we have used a mix of both strategies to keep the customers supplied and also trying to protect the margins. One more factor which was playing out in this quarter was, though the prices were high, the power sector, the peak in power, especially during the summer months and during the evening hours, that consumption was substantial. And sometimes the summers are mild, but this year the monsoon has been deficient. So even though the spot prices were high, the power plants did consume a lot of spot gas.
So would it be fair to assume that, like, you know, you were able to make reasonable margins on the spot cargoes as well?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. And last question, sir, I mean, just a clarificatory one. So GCC sourcing is 9 months with the 2-month lag. I mean, how is the supply contract? Does it also have a lag, or how does it work? I mean, suppose if a consumer is buying in August, so what is the 3-month trend that we'll have to look at understanding the price that will be?
Immediately preceding months, whereas the
Okay.
sourcing side is 9 months with a lag of 2 months.
Got it, sir. Thank you so much, sir. That answers all my questions. I'll get back in the queue, sir.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Vikas Jain from CLSA. Please proceed with your question. Mr. Vikas, your line has been unmuted. Please proceed with your question.
Hi, sir. Thanks for taking my questions. Firstly, on gas transmission, because of the thing that you just mentioned of power having sudden demand during the seasonal demand jump that power saw, is it fair to assume that current gas transmission volumes will obviously be not that high that we saw in the last quarter, and it's come off?
So I have already told you that during the current year, you can assume around 123 MMSCMD.
Okay. So, yeah, I understand that, sir, but does that include some kind of normalization due to, you know, that the Hormuz supply, etc., gets normalized, or, and, you know, that demand might also be very price-sensitive part. So as, like, if there is a sudden spike or collapse in LNG price, all of that can be more sensitive, right? So that's what I wanted to understand, that as supply, you know, as that summer season-related supply is gone, has that led to some kind of a cool-off in demand?
No. Basically, in the summer season, and particularly in the month of August and September, power sector consumed gas. And similarly, in the month of December, January, power sector consumed gas. So based on all the factors, we have calculated the total figure of around 123 MMSCMD.
Okay. Okay. And would this figure change materially if, say, there is a, for some reason, maybe due to European filling of, LNG, if there is a spike by, say, a significant spike by $3-4, would that demand figure change materially, or do you think that this is not that price sensitive?
If changes happen materially in the coming year, certainly we will come and inform you in the subsequent quarter. So right now we don't foresee for any material change. So based on the current situation, and we expect in the coming situation, so based on the total, the gas transmission volume will be around 123 MMSCMD.
Okay, sir. And just one more thing. Basically, LPG gas trading, you've just explained that obviously there'll be a period of catch-up because a lot of gains have been booked due to the benefits of the lag in this particular quarter. Similarly, for petchem and LPG, LPG production, can I argue that, like you said, that because prices have cooled off from those very high levels, that profitability in second quarter, in the current quarter, would not be as good as the profitability in the first quarter? Is that a fair way of looking at things?
Basically, during the last quarter, the price of petrochemicals was around 1 lakh, just hold on, 1,46,000 per metric tons, as compared to the 98,000 per metric ton quarter four. And similarly, in the LPG, the price realization of the LPG is around 90,796 as compared to 54. So there was increase of around 36,000 per metric ton. The main reason for increase in the profitability of the LSC, mainly the price, increase in the price.
Plus production,
we have increased by 20%.
Due sure, to that is for first quarter, but
of gas from the ministry.
But since those prices are now have cooled off, so profitability for both of these segments will also be, not that high.
In the coming year.
Will get impacted in the coming quarter. So profitability of gas trading as well as petchem as well as LPG production, will all three of them, we'll see some kind of a decline from where things are in the first quarter, right?
It is right, Jamsil.
Okay. That's all my questions. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir.
The next question is from the line of Vivekanand S. from Ambit Capital. Please proceed with your question.
Sure. Thanks for the follow-up opportunity. So my question is a bit broader on how the government is thinking about the policy framework post this crisis. So before the crisis, the government was promoting the sector a lot and also coming up with frameworks that could make it very easy for you to execute projects. Now we see that there is an increased push towards DPNG as a segment. Are there any other major changes that you see from the government side that make you believe that the PNGRB Vision 2030 of gas consumption increasing to close to 300 MMSCMD could become a reality? Are there any policy actions which perhaps we would have missed, which are happening behind the scenes that are likely to be a tailwind for the sector? Thank you.
The government is also pushing on gas storage as a strategic energy security measure. Of course, it may not, it is being thought very seriously, but it may not give the impact so fast. But definitely, if the intent is very much there and seriousness is there. And also then coal gasification projects are being promoted by the government. So there are policies which are incentivizing those kind of projects. So all these are the measures which the government is taking for increasing this gas usage. And then of course compressed biogas was always on the front radar of the government, and probably some even better schemes are likely to come in near future, but we have to wait for the schemes to get published.
Sure. Okay. Just as a follow-up, is the government pushing you to take up a more long-term gas sourcing, or say look at alternate feedstock like ethane, and also perhaps explore sourcing more from the US, because India has a trade negotiation with the US where the government has committed to buying a significant amount of energy from the US in the years to come?
So as GAIL, we are always on the lookout for sourcing from all parts of the world, and wherever we get a better deal, we will go by it. And we, as already by told by Dr. Panis earlier, we had a sourcing roadmap for up to 2030, up to 7 MMTC, of which 2.5 we have already done. We'll continue to scout all the indices and all the geographies.
Sure. Thank you very much for your time. And now I would hand the conference back to you for closing comments. Sinaji, if you would like to say something in closing, that'll be great. Thank you,
Vivekanand. I have tried to get all your questions. Any questions, please inform to our IR sales. So Anjana ma'am is looking after IR activity. So please email to Anjana. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. On behalf of Ambit Capital Private Limited, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line. Thank you.